My name is Colleen Nevin. I'm a registered nurse, and I work for Calvary Hospice at Home. I've been a nurse for 25 years. Most of that time has been for home care, and in the last 11 years, it's been with hospice, home hospice. I spent 8 years in the field, providing care to hospice care to patients in their homes in the community. And then 3 years ago, I transitioned to a nursing manager role for Calvary Hospice. Last year, I also accepted a position as the assistant director of community operations, and that's my role at this point.
Colleen Nevin, assistant director of community operations for Calvary Hospital. And we're talking today about caregiving. Who is the typical caregiver today, would you say?
Well, Pat, thank you for having me, first of all. I would say what we're seeing most, anyone from an adult child of an elderly parent, in those cases, they're managing a career, and at times also their own families, young children. We also are seeing caregivers who are at retirement age, and they're also providing care for their elderly parent. At this point, we see that patients are living longer, of course, people are living longer, and it's much more common to see older children caring for those parents. They're also at the same time taking care of their own health issues, and that can be a challenge. We also see spouses balancing work and caregiving responsibilities. Sometimes, of course, those caregivers can be elderly spouses as well. Challenge we see there is when there's no extended family, no children, and no one to assist that elderly spouse with the care. If there's limited financial resources, that also adds an extra burden on the caregiver. And then finally, what we're seeing more of is aging parents providing care to an adult child who's facing a chronic illness or a life-limiting illness.
A lot of times this is made worse by the fact that people just adamantly refuse to go into a nursing home or to go into assisted living. They don't want things to change. Do you see that a lot?
Yeah. Yes, we do. We do. Sometimes it's by choice. Other times it's because they fall within the category of not having, again, the financial resources for an assisted living facility or qualifying for long-term nursing home care.
And as you mentioned, this whole thing is magnified when the patient is really chronically ill or is reaching end of life.
Yes, absolutely it is.
How long do you see people giving care in the home? Of course, it varies.
It does vary. You know, with us, of course, we're seeing caregivers providing care for a short period of time being on home hospice. But many of those caregivers have already spent several years providing ongoing care for their loved ones. So we're sometimes seeing the end of that progression of the caregiving.
Yeah. What resources exist now to support caregivers?
There's several supports that are out there for caregivers in specific organizations that are focused on a specific diagnosis, like the Alzheimer's Association. Locally, there's support such as the Office of the Aging in different towns. And there's also national groups that provide support. One is the National Alliance for Caregiving, and they can provide assistance when needed as well.
Caregiving certainly can take a toll. A lot of caregivers have to give themselves a break, first of all. And I've heard it said, though, by caregivers who I know that setting up a break can be as stressful as just continuing with their caregiving would be, that it's more trouble than it's worth. But of course, it is not. They really should take care of themselves as well and take breaks. What do you advise?
We're seeing that caregivers really don't have the luxury of that break from their roles. It's typically a 24/7 responsibility. It's important for those caregivers to have someone they feel they can confide in and talk openly about the struggles they're facing. Caregiving takes a toll on their socialization. Many caregivers are facing increased mental health concerns. Feelings of isolation are increased. Calvary Hospice clinicians provided care throughout the pandemic, and at times, those clinicians in the community, those nurses, social workers, chaplains, were sometimes the only outlet of support for those caregivers who were at home caring for their loved ones. So having that source of support and validation for the caregiver is really crucial. They should seek out other family members and friends who may be able to give a little respite for them. They should accept any and all help offered, whether it's making a meal, letting that caregiver rest for a couple of hours, of course, eating healthy, getting enough sleep, which can be a challenge, and then doing other forms of exercise, getting out for a walk. And in dire straits where we're seeing more of stress, increasing stress, seeking out professional assistance when needed. Really, you're not going to be able to provide that care and be consistent for your loved one if you're not taking care of yourself.
That's important. I think a lot of caregivers don't think of that. They think this is something right. I have to get done, and they don't think of, hey, if I go down, this person doesn't have anybody either.
Yes, exactly.
That you're caring for.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can remember stories of when somebody got sick in the community, especially if it was a community of immigrants, your church would rally around, that kind of thing. They would pick up the slack from somebody who was providing care, and that certainly absent in most of the U.S. today.
It is. It is. That's something that seems to have transitioned. We would see a lot of support from, I guess, local neighborhoods rallying together. And again, yes, different immigrant groups and church groups that would provide that support.
Going forward, what do you see happening if this doesn't change? Because there's such a huge, well, we're in it now, aren't we, with the baby boomer population. What do you see happening in the future?
It's going to be an increasingly a challenge for caregivers in general, and for those patients who, particularly for our focus on hospice care, these patients want to remain at home. They want to spend their final days at home, and having limited support for caregivers in the U.S. nationally, it's going to be quite a crisis. If that support is not there, it's going to be something that will be less attainable for patients who, again, do want to remain at home in their final days.
Do you have any hope that things could change for the better with regard to that?
I do, because this is such a, again, back to basics path, that this is rallying around to be caring for your loved one, your family, providing that support and being at home and not having to be in a clinical setting. It's something that I don't want to see change for all of us, really, going forward. So I hope that this is something that legislation will be able to provide some more support for these people who are really dedicated to those they love.
I was thinking about Meals on Wheels and how that got started, and that's in just about every community now. I'm wondering if something like that could be, I'm sure this has been thought of before, but something like that could be set up in communities that really need this help. No, it's in all communities, isn't it? I mean,
it is.
Most
it
families is. Have that.
And, you know, we've seen a limitation, of course, on home health aides or professional home health aides who are out there. And since the pandemic, there's been a decrease in the amount of workers who are out there working as caregivers, professional caregivers. And that's also another challenge that we're seeing there. In addition to what the family member is doing, that's that extra little bit of support for them as well. And that's something that we're seeing a decrease in. So hopefully that's something that we think going forward, that home health aides should probably be paid more, be acknowledged more. They're providing that really that crucial day-to-day care for patients. And they're such a vital support for the caregiver in the home.
Why is that? Why has that decreased? Are you hearing anecdotally why that might be? Is it just a part of the labor crunch?
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of was a fear, of course, for home health aides. They were out there again on the front line in patients' homes. And in the height of the pandemic, there was that fear for them as well, feeling very vulnerable. And then also many are their mothers. They're having to now school their child at home. And that's something else that we saw so much of. So people left the field, they're not making enough to keep their family going, and then they're risking so much being out there. So, and that kind of hasn't really bounced back yet completely. So that's a true issue now in home care that we're facing.
Colleen, you've been great. Anything that we haven't talked about that you would like to mention?
I just think that there are so many resources out there, and it's not always easy for, again, an elderly spouse to Google something. But, you know, I would hope that anyone hearing this or family members that would be able to provide information for that caregiver for those extra supports. Again, many things are online. Of course, on our website for Calvary Hospital, there is also information regarding National Caregiver Month and some supports on there as well.
Do you have that website?
I do. It's www.calvaryhospital.org, and there's a link to National Family Caregivers Month 2021 on that site.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. You've had so much information, and you were great.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks for having me.